I ask that you, by your presence, will just put something in her heart this morning. I can't do it, but you, by your Holy Spirit, can. That will bless her, encourage her, enrich her, help her ever to draw closer to you so that she can be usable. We all can be usable in a world that just seems to have gone mad. Thank you, Father, for being our Father, loving us as you do. Thank you for your word and for Abigail's role modeling for us. And we thank you for the study and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 1 Samuel 25, 2 to 42. Where else this morning? I read an article in the newspaper last week. I can't remember if it was the Register or the Times. I think it was last week, saying women no longer want to be known as beautiful, but would rather be known as sexy. That really applies, doesn't it? I read it and I go, what women? They've got to be under 50, I hope, or under, well, you know, I don't want to categorize anybody, but I, you know, where is character? Where does character matter in our culture? We are in the craziest times morally that I have ever known since, and I've lived a long, long time. And these are the oddest times morally that I have ever experienced. We're beginning to see more and more on TV that we don't want to see. That's coming into our home. I've seen things on Channel 7, just glimpses. It's like they're just poking something in a little bit to see how the reaction's going to be. React, women. React. If you have to write letters, do whatever you can do to stop this. It's getting worse. They have said the borders have been broadened and we can do this now. If we send out a real cry and say, I'm not going to watch, I'm not going to buy from the, the sponsor. Yeah, the sponsor. It does have a strong effect on their programming. And we need to be women of God. We need to be Abigails that stand up for truth and righteousness and let our voices be heard in these last days for the sake of our children. And you that have grandchildren, for your grandchildren, and some of us even have great-grandchildren, and for them, if Jesus doesn't come pretty soon, I just think, what is this world going to come to? And we are the salt of the earth, and we've got to make ourselves known. This week's study is a role model for us of a beautiful, godly woman. I do not remember a time when I have enjoyed studying Abigail so much. And I've always liked her. I've always liked reading about her. But this time, as I read through her words to David, how she uses the word of God, she knew the Lord. There was something. Now, they didn't have the Bible as we have it now. But she knew her Lord. And that's our desire for each one of us in this room today, that we really know him and we make him known to others. And he's calling us, I think, with a greater calling. I sense it. Do you sense that? In these last days, anytime you can get a word in for him or you can tell somebody about him, do it. Don't waste your time here. I'm beginning to think that a lot of the rest of the things don't mean much of anything. It's just this pursuit after him and making him known to others. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I don't remember if this was in your lesson or not. I did it thoroughly, but my memory's failing. I have to confess to you this morning. Don't go out and tell people I'm losing my mind, please. Somebody said if you forget something at 25, nobody pays any attention. But if you forget it at 75, they go, oh, Alzheimer's. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 25. This time through my study of 1 Samuel 25, I've concentrated more thoroughly on Abigail's character, her wisdom. Don't try and write this down because I'm going to go kind of fast through this. Abigail's character, her wisdom, her discretion. I'm not going to touch all these. But her courage. And she's become one of my good friends? Has she become one of your good friends? And she's become a role model for me. I love her taking action. Now, my desire this morning is for each of us that we'll glean something from her life that will be an example for our lives. We need application of what we learn. You're not studying this only to get it into the warp and woof of your own being, but to apply it to your life, to your walk. What would Jesus do? Is this the way I'm supposed to be living now? How can I be an Abigail in these times? What impact has Abigail had on my life this week? Write some of those questions down yourself and answer them, because we need to not just read this for knowledge, head knowledge, but it's got to be worked out in our character and our lives. And that's what joyful life is all about. You know the joyful life when you know your Lord Jesus Christ and you're living for him, and it's priority living. He's first in your life. And for some of you, it's so hard to make him first, but he wants to be first. And you'll never know the joy you're supposed to know, and he wants you to know, until he is first in your life. That's just a little aside. Okay, one commentary I read, and Kathy Gilbert also read it and mentioned it to me, titles this chapter, Beauty and the Beast. You like that? I do. Beauty and the Beast. One look at 1 Samuel 25, 3-11 substantiates this as a rather appropriate description of Nabal. Ooh, what a man he was, the husband of Abigail. And yet, how even in that kind of a marriage, she was able to move out and move on and be such a witness for the Lord. Don't excuse yourself because your marriage isn't perfect. Don't excuse yourself or blame your husband. We have to live for Jesus, and he'll open doors for you no matter what your circumstances, to be the witness you ought to be the child of his you ought to be the wife you need to be. And I don't know if anybody in this room, well, I don't know your husbands really well, but I certainly don't want to be on tape as saying anybody's married to a Nabal. Right? Right. If they accidentally heard a tape, that would be the end of your attendance at Joyful Life, I'm sure. His name means what? Now, how would you like to be married to a fool? I just think, oh, and as his name, so he is. And I said, imagine naming a baby Nabal. Do you suppose his parents named him Fool? I mean, I've heard of some crazy names for babies, but I've never heard of Nabal for a child, and I hope nobody ever does that with the meaning as it is. In verse 3 of the 25th chapter, and if you haven't opened open to your to the 25th chapter, describes him as churlish, and that, and some pronounce it curlish. This is the only time that word is mentioned in the Bible, just one time, and it refers to this man. Curlish or churlish, whichever you want to call it, and I saw it in my dictionary, can be pronounced either way, but we're used to saying churlish, means cruel, hard-hearted, and evil in his doings. What a boy to be married to. Cruel, hard-hearted, and evil in his doings. How would you like to be married to a man like that? Definitely not a marriage made in heaven, and he's not Prince Charming. Contrast this description of Nabal from 1 Samuel 25:3 with that of Abigail. She was a woman of good what? That I love women of a good understanding, who just something about them. I think it's a work of the Lord in us if we are at all a person of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Beautiful countenance, but a woman of good understanding. I think a woman of good understanding has a beautiful countenance. There's something that just radiates through her that just just gives a beauty to our, to a countenance. And how, as I talk to different ones of you, there's just that beauty of the Lord upon you. And what a blessing in my life to see women of God at Calvary, you younger women and you middle-aged and you older women, just something of the reflection of Christ through your life. And there, it makes a difference. I can be in a market many times, and I'll say to check, I'll bet she's a Christian. There's something about a face that there's something when a person really walks with Jesus. As I look around now, I see it in the congregation. Just there's something that just shows on your countenance. And many times they'll come up and go, well, Pastor Chuck. And I go, I guess I got that one right. Which makes it joyful for me. Okay, what can I learn from her example to apply to my life? First of all, she recognized when her household was in danger. She recognized it. You know, there are women, even in the body, probably not in Calvary, we hope, but that do not recognize when their household is in danger. My kids used to tease me because I would clear out their drawers, you know, straighten up their drawers just to make sure there are no cigarettes, there's no booze hidden, there's no dope hidden. I mean, we were in a crazy time here at Calvary during those years when they were growing up. And there were kids that brought dope to church and tried to pass it around if they could, or even we'd come on the property wanting to sell it, whatever, or drugs of any kind. And I wanted to keep on, boy, I wanted to be that way. I wanted to be observant. I wanted to watch. I wasn't Miss Snoopy, and they understood, and especially if I'm just putting their socks away. Isn't she a dear mommy? But she recognized her household was in danger. Jeff had a friend who, our son Jeff, who I had never met anybody like him in my life. He was a consummate, I'm going to say the word, liar. And I said to him one day, now you know that's not true. Do you talk or to your mom? Do you talk? Oh, yeah. He says, she believes everything I say. And I'm going to call her up, you know. And I just thought, how could his mother believe it? And, you know, kids were just passing drugs around it so badly then at Newport Harbor High. And I've told you before, I was determined by God's grace to keep my eyes so on my kids that if they ever I would know and be able. And I had my friends praying. We had a group of women here praying that our kids would not get entrapped in drugs. Remember that. And that our kids wouldn't get caught up in those things because it's as dangerous for a Christian kid as it is for a worldly kid. And the devil is working to get that Christian kid. And you don't want to not know what's going on in your household. She recognized when her household was in danger. When that young man came to her and said, hey, you know, this is, what am I got here? I've skipped a place. When the young man of 1 Samuel 25:14 told Abigail that her household was in danger because of Nabal's refusal to give bread and water to David's men who had protected Nabal's shears. Can you see the callousness of that man's heart? She just sat around and ignored it. What'd she do? She made what? Haste. See that word in big letters. Sometimes women, we need to make haste. We sit back and think, well, I'll just wait a little longer. I don't mean we should rush into things without any godly counsel. But she made haste. She knew that her household was in danger. And we need to recognize when our households are in danger. Don't just think your kids are always doing the right thing and with the right friends. This one boy that became Jeff's friend, and I'm sure Cheryl remembers him, lied all the time. And do you know, before long, I heard Jeff lying. I mean, he started, you know, a little pattern there. This kid got by with it with his parents, and it became almost a habit in some areas and a very difficult one to break. And I just feel like we need to know. Don't just suppose. But she made haste. She reacted, secondly, with godly wisdom. First of all, She recognized her household was in danger. Then she reacted with godly wisdom. She went in haste, but in preparing to intercede with David, in verse 18 here, it says, then Abigail made haste. And then she prepared. She took what men always love to have prepared. What? Yeah, remember that. I remember as a young wife years ago going to some Christian seminar somewhere, and the speaker was talking to wives. It was just for wives. And she said, you always have something on the stove that smells good when your husband comes in the house. Doesn't matter if it is anything important or not, just so it smells good. It smells like food when he comes in. And, you know, and they'll, oh, boy, what's cooking for dinner tonight? You know, they like that. And I know I've told you over and over this story. I've always loved perfume. Chuck's never mentioned one drop of perfume I've ever worn. But if he comes in and the food's, oh, boy, that smells so good. And I go, it's important. That is a sign of a wise woman to have food available. And she, Abigail, was a wise woman. And let's see here. I'm getting lost in my notes again today. You're so patient with me. But I've got, okay, another wise thing she did was she did not tell Nabal. Now, I am not advocating to any wife in this room, and I don't want it ever on tape, that I have told you not to tell your husband something, because they will pull you out of the study if it's that sort of thing and they ever hear it. But in this case, what was her husband called? Mm-hmm. He was a very, very unwise man. And it also describes him as churlish and evil. Churlish. That's an interesting word we talked about. Churlish and evil. Mean-spirited. And for the safety of her household, now, if a husband is endangering the lives of the children or the household, that's a whole different story. I saw something on TV, on the news the other night about, it made me so sad, this little boy that they found dead, remember? Did any of you see that? They said he was, it was on network, said that he was the most bruised and battered child they'd ever seen. And his father was responsible for him, beat him, I think they said, every single day. Just a little tiny guy with a little angel face. I just cried. I just sat there and cried. It broke my heart. The little fellow's with Jesus now. And I was so grateful. In fact, I thank the Lord for taking him home to get him out of that. But if you had a husband that was doing that, I'd report him to the police immediately and get help and run as far as I had, wouldn't you? You know, so that's a whole different thing than what we're talking about today. But to save her house, Abigail reasoned with David. I love the fact that she recognized there was a problem, and then she reasoned with David. When she first saw David, now this is so interesting to me, she showed the deepest humility possible. I was very touched. In fact, I read it over quite a few times, that part there. I thought, isn't that interesting? It said, she hasted and she lighted off the donkey and she fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet. And then she took responsibility for everything that had happened. I thought, Abigail, why did you do that? You didn't have to do that. But she did. What an incredible woman she was. She knew the Lord, as we see in a few verses later there. But when Abigail saw David, she fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thine house, thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear my words. Oh, as an intercessor for her household, are you an intercessor for your household? Oh, how we need to be. I want to stress that if that's the only thing you get out of it today, please remember that. She reasoned with David. She was a wise woman. What example is there in this for me? when she spoke to David, as recorded in 1 Samuel 25, 28 to 32, I was totally amazed at her knowledge of the Lord. Seven times she mentions the Lord. Now, she talks about Lord, not capitalized, referring to probably David. But when she speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's Lord and capitalized with the capital Lord. And I thought she knew him. The thing she said about him, just phrases. I was going to read the whole thing to you. My Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all the days. That's speaking the battles of the Lord, capital. She knew that the Lord was strong and mighty in battle. And then she talks about with the Lord, the bundle of life. Isn't that a beautiful expression? It's with the Lord. In other words, our lives are in his hands. And nobody can touch us to take us out of his hands. Isn't that a blessing? I think we need to say praise the Lord or something. Amen. Our lives are in his. Can you picture yourself right now? Just in his arms. Is it Mary Ellen's baby that's backstage? Oh, beautiful. And her grandma is just having to do the most dreadful thing, hold that baby all the way through backstage. I'm going, give me that baby inside. I didn't say it to her, but, you know, just holding this precious baby. And I think of it in the scripture. Can you see yourself held in the hands of the Lord no matter what? He doesn't let go. And his arms are so strong, and he can hold every one of us. We're bound in that bundle of life with the Lord our God. And the souls of thine enemies, they shall be slung out in the middle of a sling. Isn't that a beautiful thing for that woman to say? She had a knowledge of the Lord. And she didn't have this. She didn't have this. This meant that somehow she was believing what she was hearing about God. And she was devoted to him, and she was loving him, and she was serving. What we have all these things available. A bookstore down here with all kinds of books about him. We have sermons. We have a radio broadcast or other Christian radio broadcasts, TV programs, whatever. All these things where we can just be fed. And yet some are so negligent of the Lord and of the things of the Lord. Oh, we can't excuse it. We have every opportunity to just breathe in his presence and his power and his word. I usually like to leave my Bible on my bed in the mornings. And sometimes if I am running back up to my room for a few minutes, I'm not telling you to do this, but I'll just turn like this and go, what do you want to say to me, Lord? Now, sometimes I get funny scriptures, so it doesn't always work. I'm not advising it. But I do it till I get one that I go, oh, that's a good one to think about and meditate on. And you know what it does? It takes all those worries and pressures and problems and stuff of this life out of your mind. And here's the word going through it. The word just kind of circulating. And you feel his presence and you feel his power. And you feel strengthened by him. Oh, she was a woman that knew her Lord so well that she could give this prophetic exhortation to David. And then David recognized his response to it. He said to her, it was a wise counsel. He recognized that God had sent her and had spoken through her. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And these words, women almost never hear the next phrase. How many women have ever had your husband say this? Now, mine might have. I'm not going to tell you whether you did or not. And blessed be thy advice. Is that something? Is that? I just read that one over and over. I want to say to Chuck, do you know what David said to Abigail? Blessed be thy advice. Sometimes we tease with things like that, and I'll say, well, don't you think you ought to da-da-da-da-da? And I just want him to turn back one time and say, blessed be thy advice. But I thought, what a precious thing. David, this wonderful, precious man of God, wasn't so high and mighty and all of these things that he wouldn't receive from this gifted woman. But her recognition in this prophecy she gave him spoke about when he was king, it would grieve him if he did this awful thing. And he listened because God was in her counsel. Oh, I want to be a woman of wise counsel. Do you? I want to be like that. I want to be one like Abigail. I want all of us to be Abigails. And so much from her life for us to learn. David's response to her counsel, he just recognized it was from God, and he said, blessed be thy advice. And I put in my notes, wow, wouldn't that be great to hear? You're not supposed to know I did it, but it's right here. Not meaning that Chuck doesn't, he's precious to me in every way, more than I deserve, I'll tell you. And then, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from shedding blood and avenging myself. And she said to him, someday you're going to be king. My interpretation of it, someday you're going to be king. And if you do this to this man, you will be grieved all the time while you're king if you do this. And David was spared that because of Abigail, who put her life on the line and gave this wise counsel to him. And he said, blessed be thou which has kept me this day from shedding blood and avenging myself. Her purpose in intercession was accomplished. What a precious testimony to this beautiful woman. Her household was safe. Is your household safe today because of your intercession? Because of your calling out to God when you saw these things that were of a danger to your home. And God, then the most amazing thing, as I read those last few verses, and God removed this cruel and churlish man. Isn't that amazing? God, it says the Lord smote Nabal and he died. She didn't have to do anything about it. She didn't even have to pray about it anymore. It was all over. God took care of Nabal, and God always will for the Christian wife. Somehow, he will intervene, and he will protect, and he will give her the courage to go on as long as she is with him. The last thing of her being a role model for us is recorded in 25:41, and I'm going to read 40 and 41 if you want to just listen. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail and Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And I just love this next verse. If somebody came to me and said, you're going to be the king's wife, would you have reacted like this? Would I? And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants. Now, I read one commentary, and it said, wash the feet of the servant of the Lord. That's not what it says. It says servants. She was willing to wash the feet of the servants of the Lord. That is humility. Just think of that. If somebody, again, if they came and said, you were going to be married to this great man, and he da 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 da. Would that be your response when they came and told you? Most of us would say, what shall I wear? I'd hate to think that was our first response. In the flesh, yeah, but not in the spirit. We would be awed. We would be blessed. And you know, we've been chosen as daughters of the King, all of us in this room. Oh, the bride of Christ, every one of us, and the humility that was in her needs to be in us. Are you willing to wash feet today. You know, it's not the literal washing of the feet. It's just loving others to go beyond what's comfortable for you, beyond what you feel you have time for. I have a lady that calls me often. She's not in the church here. She's from a whole, again, I say this because I don't want anybody here to say, oh, I hope that's not me, and that calls me quite often. Did I tell you this last week? And sometimes she's very, very needy, very needy. And when I answer the phone, there's that initial reaction. Oh, Father, I have so much to do today. Please, I just can't do this. And he speaks to my heart and says, love will do it. Love will do it. Think of her. Don't think of you. I'll make up the time to you. And I'll make the space you need for whatever. And do you know, he's never failed. And usually all she wants to talk about are her problems. Oh, I hope she doesn't get tapes. That's good. But, you know, she's sick. She's this. She's that. She's that. And, you know, often. But I think I'm tested by it. Can I love her? Will I minister to her? Whatever I can. Just listening probably helps. Sometimes it's all somebody wants. As somebody that'll just sit and listen and care a little bit. Nobody else around. She has a tough family, and nobody's all that compassionate with her. And maybe when I get to heaven, it will be my finest ministry, just listening to someone who went through, was going through sorrows and trials and hard places and very lonely. And I want to be that kind of person, and I know that you do too. Not in our flesh, we don't, but in the spirit, we do. Oh, what a role model she is in her humility. For us, she was a woman of good understanding. She was humble. She was filled with the knowledge of the Lord, which just I'm still awed by. She reacted in godly wisdom, and she reasoned with David with great knowledge of the Lord. She was humble in spirit. And again, a true example for us. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, you could have just never have put Abigail's story in the Bible, and we would never be so moved and touched and as we are by this wonderful woman and by her example for us. I pray that as we've done our lesson and we've discussed it and we've come into this time together in the sanctuary, that Abigail will not fade off the pages of our mind or our heart or our spirit. Lord, will you by your spirit bring her to mind over and over again, especially in those places where we're tempted to do our own will, or we're tempted to be selfish, or we're tempted to give up, or our household's in danger. And we're either not recognizing it or we're just dropping in a chair very faint. Help us to be as an Abigail and get on our feet and march out in strength and in valor and do your will. Oh, Lord, I just pray for each and every one in this sanctuary and those who listen on the tape that you will do a renewed work in our heart of calling us to be those women of valor we're meant to be. And use us as you used Abigail in protecting our homes, being aware of the danger, and then listening to you for your commands and obeying them. Thank you again for the opportunity to share with these precious women that give up their Friday mornings to be here because of their love for you. In Jesus' name we ask our prayers. Amen. What are we singing?
Well, my household was in danger.